Amen. As you know, we've been going through Genesis. Genesis is a great book. And last week we looked at the corruption of humankind. And we saw in Matthew, we're over there, right there, that he, in Genesis 6, 11 and 12, these are the things: that the earth was corrupt, the earth was filled with violence, all flesh had corrupted his ways. Now, when you normally read that, I think that I read it, I didn't think that it was talking about God's ways. But when I looked at it again today, when they corrupted his ways, they weren't corrupting man's ways. Man's ways were already corrupted because of Adam's sin. So what the problem was here is that they were corrupting God's ways. They were walking outside of what God said to do. They were corrupt. They were filled with violence. Earth was totally corrupt. And that corruption caused God's judgment and his wrath to come in chapter 6 and verse 13. And in that wrath coming also resulted God showing his mercy in grace in Genesis 6, 14 through 22, where he finds Noah, one that is righteous in his generation, perfect in his generations. Right? And so, in all of the people that were alive, God scanned the whole earth. And he says, I find one. I found one man. One man out of every body, every human that is on the earth, that this man is righteous. He's walking with me. He's sacrificing unto me. Today I found out, as I was going through this next couple of chapters, that they knew what were clean animals and what were dirty animals before the law of Moses was written. Because God tells him to gather seven of the clean animals and then two of each of the unclean animals, male and female. Right? And so I thought that was really interesting that they already knew that. And Jesus said, Matthew 24, 36 through 39, we're not going to get into all of that, just that overview. As the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They were eating and drinking, marrying, until Noah entered into the ark. And my King James Bible has Noah spelled N-O-E, but it also has it spelled N-O-A-H. Same guy, different spelling. Zip. Like some other things, right, in our language. But so he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be as the Son of Man when he comes. Jesus says they were just living life. They were eating, drinking, marrying until Noah entered into the ark. So we know that not only were they eating and drinking and giving and taking in marriage, but they were corrupt. They were filled with violence, and all flesh had corrupted God's ways. And they were still just living. They were still just going on with life. Very regular, very without a care in the world. Pretty much like we're doing now. Amen? And I'm seeing this. It's not as bad as it was, right? Now, a lot of folks say, well, the sons of God came down and giants were born. And it does tell us that in the Bible. But when God says the things that I destroyed the earth was, he doesn't mention that. He doesn't mention the men of renown. He doesn't mention the not giants that were on the earth at the time. He doesn't say that that was the corruption that made it. All flesh, whether they had been mating with giants or not, all flesh was violent. All flesh had corrupted the ways of God. And every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. They weren't following God except for one line, one bloodline, and it boiled down to one individual on the whole earth. That's astronomically mind-blowing to me.
When he made the seed, seed of
the kind. Yes.
It's perfect. So the corruption was also in the bio, and it was everything.
It was everything.
It was everything. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. It was the whole thing, and it wasn't repenting God that he even made man on the earth.
He said it was good.
Now
it had become ungood.
Right. Yeah. It was good when he first made it, and he said, I think six times in Genesis he says it was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. Everything was good until it wasn't. Mm-hmm. All right. How often does that happen in our personal lives? It's all good until it ain't. Right? It's all good. It's good as long as I'm walking in what God wants me to. I'm living in the confinements that God, I don't want to call it confinements. I'm living in the freedom that God gives me under the sheltering of His wings. As I walk in obedience with Him, as I honor Him, as I stay in line with what His Word says, God will find righteousness in me, not because of me, but because I fear and obey what His Word says, right? And so Noah was doing that. And the way I'm reading through Scripture, Noah was the only one doing that. It doesn't say that his sons were doing it. It doesn't say that their wives were doing it. And that's going to play out here later on after Noah gets off the ark.
I would say Noah's seed was good. He would know his his generations.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say his wife's generations.
Right, doesn't say his wife's. You know, and so even if his sons had half of Noah, they also had half of the other one. Their wives didn't, they may have not had any part of it. And so because we know that even after the flood, when Noah got off the ark, corruption, because the Tower of Babel came up pretty quick. You know, it didn't take many generations for that to happen. And so anyhow, as we get in through the Revelation, we'll go into that some deeper. And so God cursed the earth and He caused the flood to happen. In verse chapter 7, this is where we're picking up today. And Father, as we get into Your Word, I ask that You would bless it. Father, I ask that You would move mighty in Your Word, Lord Jesus, that we can hear what You have to say to us through this Word. And Lord, I'm going to get into some math stuff that I really am going to need Your help. Father, and I ask that You would move mighty in this. And if it's not important, make it that way. Father, if there is some things that I'm not seeing, Father, make it evident to me that it might be proclaimed in these hours, Lord, and we thank You for it. And we ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. And Noah, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee shall have I seen righteous before me in this generation. See, there's where it's at, Kevin. God saw Noah righteous in the generation, in that time period that he was in. Of every clean beast thou shalt take unto thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. So in that, Noah already knew what was acceptable to God and what wasn't acceptable to God. He had to know that by learning from his father Adam, or down through the ages, Enoch and Methuselah, and where Noah came from. It was taught to him what was acceptable to God and what was not acceptable to God. Up until this point right here, God hadn't really spoke a lot to humankind that's recorded in the Scripture. Okay, and of the fowls also of the air be by sevens, male and female, to keep the seed alive upon the earth, on the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days will I cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance I have made I will destroy off the face of the earth. And God gave a warning to Noah that, you've been going for wood, you've been building an ark, you're following my instructions, you're doing it the way that you're supposed to, covering with pitch on the inside and the outside, making it to the proper dimensions and all those things. Noah, you're coming to the end of that project now in 7 days. 7 days it's going to rain. It's never rained before. Up until this time, we know that the water came from underneath the earth and was watering all the vegetation. There had not been a raindrop. Probably just a nice heavy mist hung in the air. Because of the firmament that separated the waters from the waters, the way that God created it. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord had commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of the beasts that are not clean, of the fowls, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two, and unto Noah, unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were open, were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, In the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. How particular is that? This is what I'm saying. Our faith can be solid in what God says. On 7 days, it's going to happen, Noah. Start making, and he built 100 windows. And not only, remember in Genesis that God made the firmament, and he split the waters from the waters, and he called that firmament heaven. All right, and there's we got into different discussions about this. Well, there's three heavens. All right, we know that through John, through Paul, right, that there's the first heaven that the birds fly in, and there's a heaven that the stars are in, and then there's the heaven that is God's throne. We know that Paul was called up to the third heaven. But when I look down at the ocean, I don't see it like that, right? When I just see the ocean, right, and it's all one ocean. When God's looking down, I don't know if he says, well, this is my heaven, there's another heaven under that. He said, I made a firmament, and I separated it, and God said that this firmament is heaven. Okay? We can get into worrying about the little
nuances.
That's like just like an old aunt, only younger. A nuance. Get it? Yeah. It's horrible. But what happened, what I see in this, the windows were open, and so God made the firmament. He separated the water from the water. And then the firmament that was holding the water under the earth, he removed it, and the fountains of the deep sprung up. Okay, he pulled the firmament back. And the windows of heaven that were in the firmament, he rolled it back, like the ceiling tile right here. He took it, hooked it up, moved it out. And all of the water that was above it, all the water that was underneath it, splashed back together. Okay? Now, it did this for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, and you think that that would be the end of it, right? 40 days and 40 nights. But it says that the waters continually raised for 150 days. And I said, wow, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? Because it only rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Then I got thinking about regular floods, the floods that we have now. It rains, and then the water comes in, and then the water continues to rise. Right? Even after the rain stopped, the water continues to rise. I don't know how that happens, but God makes it happen that way. That's what I see here in the Genesis account of this 40 days and 40 nights. Because he says right here in the next couple verses in chapter 8, maybe even the last part of chapter 7, he says that there's 150 days that the waters increase on the earth. And then there's another 150 days that the waters receded or decreased on the earth. We'll get into that as the time, if the time allows us. We're going to make the time allow us because I'm going to keep going. He was 600, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, verse 12. And the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. And every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird after its of every sort. And they went unto Noah into the ark, two of two of all flesh that breatheth on the earth. And they went in male and female. Well, you notice that there's no gender dysphoria here. All right?
God's not confused.
Amen. There is no such thing as gender. There's only male, only female. And the way God created you then, that's what you are. And again, you can see this throughout nature. Y'all don't see any kind of that mess. Right? You don't see that mess among animals. Yeah.
They don't mention little baby animals, but how does seven get into two and two?
How does seven get in? It says, pick up seven of all of the, so they're all the clean animals. I need seven pairs of those.
Oh, seven pairs.
Seven pairs.
Oh,
right.
Seven.
Right. Exactly. Well, yeah, seven, but it is an equal number. Go ahead.
What identify them as being clean or unclean?
Well, actually, you have to go back to Leviticus and go through what the clean animals and the unclean animals are. because in that to make sacrifices. God won't accept unclean sacrifices like buzzards, right? He will take a dove, but he won't take a buzzard or an eagle to be a sacrifice unto the Lord because it eats unclean things. A rabbit, a hare, because it chews the cud but doesn't have a split hoof, all right, is an unclean animal. Personally, I like rabbits.
Swine,
yeah. You know? That's all of us. No. But yeah, the pigs, right? Because, again, it's about the way their foot is on the ground. Why is that way? I really don't know, Vaughn. I really don't know about why God called some things clean and some things unclean. But I know he has a reason. Pigs will eat anything, right? And if you eat swine meat, right, raw, you're going to get sick. You're going to get sick. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love me some bacon. I like ham, ham sandwiches. Oh, they are so good. But all that stuff is cooked. You know, a clean animal, like a beef, you can eat beef raw. It doesn't, don't drink the blood, right? We know that. It says don't have eat it with blood. But you could eat it, and it won't get you horribly sick. It's called tartar, right? And that's also what they put on the roads. Tartar. But anyhow, tartar, right? So you can eat that, and it doesn't affect the human body.
Better be clean,
though. It better be clean, yeah. Don't get it off the road and eat tartar, all right? So anyhow, so I don't know if that... I do know that God has his reasons for things being clean and things being unclean. And Noah knew what was clean and what was not clean. Because Noah didn't say, hey, God, what do you mean? What's clean? What's not clean? And then he tells him how many birds to get. The cool thing I found is that he only asked the male and the female. None of the other stuff. Deb, you just went through this because of your job. How many genders are there now?
Today,
I'm testing you.
I don't know.
Amen. Two. But yeah. Science would tell you that there's 70 plus genders today.
God says two.
Male and female. That's it. You know, and it's pretty simple to me. I like things simple. I can count to two. You'll find out in these other numbers over here I'm having a hard time with. But anyhow. And they went in, male and female, and the flood was, 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark and lifted it above the earth, and the waters prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up, upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills were under the whole heaven and were covered 15 cubits, did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and cattle, and of beast, and of creeping thing, and creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping thing, fowl of heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. All right? And so when God sends, when he has it, I've had it up to here, I ain't taking it no more. When he gets to that spot and he sends wrath down, he takes completely good care of it. Nothing unrighteous left. Now, we do know that why I say that.
Fish,
they don't have the breath of life.
Right.
They breathe through their gills. They actually breathe water. Yeah. Right? And so that would be different. Yeah.
They came through that.
Yes, absolutely.
Probably a lot of them died too.
Oh, yeah. Well, just with the amount of the stuff that was being washed around in the waters, right? All the forest, all the grasses, all the animals, and there were big animals floating around, knocking each other around and stuff. There's a lot of things that died. When the fountains of the deep burst open,
unbelievable.
Imagine the amount of
velocity,
pressure, dirt that came up with that, right? So it's under the dirt, and God pushed it up, and all of the topsoil and the crust of the earth, as it unfolded like that and was flung out into the oceans, into the air. You know, so it was flung into the air, then the water was washing it down. So I imagine the first few days of that flood, water falling out of the air and being pushed up from the earth at the same time, it would have been a torrent.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, anything caught in the violence of that water could have, it would have, yeah, everything would have been ripped to pieces.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine even fish, they would have been really and truly just destroyed with the torrent of the water. But he says everything, all substance, everything died in the flood. Except for Noah and the eight souls that were in the ark. The interesting thing about the ark is, as we looked over it last week, there's plenty of room. Plenty of room. There's enough room for anybody who was willing to come could have came on the ark. But God knew that only Noah, a preacher of righteousness, which it tells us in 2 Peter 2:4-5, God spared not the angels and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, one of eight, a preacher of righteousness. So we know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness and he saved him, that he was righteous in his generation. Again, it doesn't talk about Shem and Ham and Japheth, you know, being on the same level as Noah was. All right, and we have evidences of that in our lives, right? How many of you know godly parents and their children are less than?
Yes.
Right? I mean, God-fearing, God-loving parents, they fear at the name of God. They tremble in their boots, but their children don't. And so I'm not saying that's how it was with Noah. I do know that the Bible says that only Noah was righteous in his generation. It doesn't talk about his boys being righteous in their generation. And so, in that, we know that 150 days, the waters prevailed upon the earth. So 150 days, 40 days of rain, and the breaking up of the foundations of the earth, that 150 days, they raised up. Now, you can take 40 off of the 150, as far as Noah being in the ark, and make it 110. And we'll get over there on the math side of that in a minute, because all these things I've been wrestling with in my head all day long, the numbers of this stuff. And again, I don't know if it's in there for a reason, so I know it matters, but I couldn't make it matter as hard as I tried today to make it matter. But I'm sure that a good mathematician will be able to figure that stuff out and find the keys to it. I found the keys, I just don't know how to use them. I can't find the ignition. And so, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. And the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned off of the earth continually. After the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. So we have 150 days of it coming up, then we have another 150 days of it going down. So we got 300 days, 300 and possibly even 7 days of the flood. Well, 307 plus the 40. Or do you count that 40 with the 300, the 40 days of rain, with the 150 of the floods increasing? See, that's part of the math questions that I had today. Yeah, amen. And the ark rested on the seventh month and the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat, right? And so we know that there was a time that as the waters were going down, that God found a place. Now, when he says the mountains of Ararat, that doesn't mean the mountain of Ararat. Anybody know where the Ural mountain range is?
It's in Turkey, right?
Russia. Close.
Russia.
All right. Right off the Ural Mountains, it comes down, and there's the mountain range of Ararat, right off of the Himalayan strain. So the Ural Mountains go up this way, the Himalayans go this way, and Ararat goes this way. All right, kind of like the Smoky Mountains on one side of America, the Rocky Mountains on the other side of America, and in Canada you have another range that runs in the opposite direction of those two. So the same thing happens in Europe and in the other continents. If you get into, what do you call that when you look at the mountains of the earth? Geology.
Geography.
Isn't that a math thing? Geology.
Topography.
Yeah, one of those orographies, oceanography, something like that.
Mountainography.
But anyhow, you look at it and the way that things are laid out. I always thought when I read this that it landed on the Mount of Ararat.
I thought that was Turkey.
Ararat is in Turkey, yes.
Yeah.
But there's a mountain range, like the Smoky Mountain Range and the Rocky Mountain Range, which comes all the way from Colorado all the way up into Alaska, right? So this Ararat Mountain Range, it says it rested on the mountains of Ararat. So that must mean in the range of that. And it very well may be on what we call the Mountain of Ararat. But I don't know if that's exactly what it's talking about there when you look at the way that topography is laid out and when you look at how mountains are laid out on the earth, the way that God put them in there. And so anyhow, what we do know is that on a certain day, at a certain month, and it says that it was the seventh month, on the 17th day of month, upon that the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, and in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. So now you got something different, all right? It rested on the mountains of Ararat, and then you've got from the 7th month to the 10th month, which is what, another 57 days is what all of the calculating people say. Another 57 days before you saw all of the other mountain peaks starting to show as the water steadily descending during the 150 days of the water backing off. What you got there, sister? Help me.
Well, he got in the ark on the 2nd month on the 17th day.
Yes.
So we're only to the 7th month now.
Yeah, I know. It's only 5 months.
And then 3 more.
Right. So
not 3 full ones because it's the first day of the 10th month.
Yes. Now, see, all of the commentaries, right, all the commentaries are telling me it's anywhere between 298 days and 371 days that Noah was actually on the ark. But when I was working out the math, those don't add up. Well, working on a 60-day month, 30-day month, yeah. And so coming down to the 30-day, not the lunar month, but on the Jewish Judean month, the 30-day months, right.
Gregorian, I think.
Correct. Pardon?
Gregorian?
Might be.
Calendar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all 30 days.
30 days, yeah.
12 months, 30 days.
Right, yeah. And 360 days a year as a 365. And so I did all my calculations on that, which should be the way that everybody did their calculations on it, because that's how God measured time before the Romans came, the Gregorians, and messed everything up. And made it, gave us, yeah, Julian calendar. It's like their salad, their calendar, it's all messed up. And so,
the Jewish calendar was 30 days.
Yes, it was. Yep. And then they came up with a leap year?
Yeah, there was a month.
They had a leap month, but there's also a leap year and hours every, what, 7 years? There's a leap?
Four or something?
Yeah, see, I don't know.
They added an extra month or so in the old calendar to mm-hmm. make to keep it the same.
Yeah.
Every however many years they added a month
and
or so.
You see how people mess this stuff up? I was watching the deer and stuff. They don't care. You know, they're about ready to mess with our time again.
Oh, yeah.
The deers do not care. When the sun comes up, it's daytime. When the sun goes down, it's night. When it's cold, it's winter. When it's hot, it's not. So, come on, we could get simple like that again, right? We really could. I don't need to have all of that other stuff. When I'm cold outside, I put on a jacket. When it's hot outside, I put on short sleeves.
You do complain, too. You've got to
I do, and I whine until it warms again, right? I do complain. Amen. And well, actually, I've heard some of y'all whining about the nice warmth, you know? So, yeah, we each have our little whining things.
Absolutely.
But in these days and in these times and stuff, So we have the waters decrease continually until the 10th month, In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days, so another 40 days to go with the first 40 days, that Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made. Now, I don't know if I was cramped up in a good-sized boat, don't get me wrong, but I was around the same people 24/7. And remember, there wasn't lights on the ark. When God said, seal it up, guess what? It was sealed up. I'm sure that they had candles or whatever, you know. I'm guessing that they do. When you go to the ark in Kentucky, they actually have soda pop machines. Air conditioning, heating, all that kind of stuff. I don't think Noah's ark had all that stuff. But they probably had a way to light, you know, the hallways and stuff, so they wouldn't trip over themselves. And so, anyhow, all of that's conjecture because the Bible doesn't say so. Right? After 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven and went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up off the earth. He also he sent forth a dove from him to see whether the waters were abated from the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth, when he put forth his hand, and he took her, and put her in, pulled her into him, into the ark. All right, they stayed another 7 days, and again sent forth a dove out of the ark. And the dove came to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated off the earth. Now, I did some look in how long it takes olive trees to grow. All right? And I know what the Bible says here about days and stuff like that. When they part, this olive tree, and unless God did some really special things here, which he could have, because when he made the first plants, he spoke, and poof, full-grown trees came out of the ground, right, bearing fruit. There's not enough time for an olive plant to spring a root, get into the ground, start to bear leaves in 47 days. In the way we look at it now. But somehow, that dove found an olive leaf. I don't know, and no one knew at that time that all the water was gone off the face of the earth. But he still waits. Alright? At least they're getting fresh air in the ark now because the windows are rolled down. Right? So anyhow, in those things it was going through my, this is what I was wrestling with all day long. Go ahead.
Well, people also were living 600 years. So
yeah.
Like, I don't know if we can go, well, we think our time.
Amen. Yes. Grow,
right?
Yeah. That's true.
We were living 600 years. Could be a tree. Yeah.
Well, the trees were living that, but we know before that all the substance on the earth was wiped off.
Yeah.
When God says all the substance, I would believe that every single tree, every single blade of grass, everything that was on the earth was wiped out during the flood. That's the way I understand it.
But God's also, he's given us the days. And
yes.
Only a few areas where, when he's talking about the days, he's referring to years.
Yes.
In this case,
yes.
He's referring to literal days. And
days.
God's not limited.
Great.
In
Amen.
The Testament, he talks about the fig tree that withered when he
when
spoke.
When he spoke it. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't say, well, it takes 60 days for it to
No.
He spoke.
Right.
Like
Amen.
He raised his staff and
the waters parted.
Split.
Yep.
He wasn't like, we need 5
days. Well, look at this. God said, make a firmament, divide the waters. That day it happened. That hour it happened. Go ahead.
So yeah, it's the whole like time frame. If you look at verse 11 and chapter 7 there,
yeah,
it says in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep broken.
Yes.
And the water and the windows of heaven were open. Then if you go down to verse 8 and verse 13, it says, and it came to pass in the 601st year And the first month, the first day of the month, the waters would dry up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark. Now, that's his life, right? That's his age. Okay, so 600 years, two months, and 17 days.
Right.
And in verse 13, he's 601 and the first day of the month.
Right.
So now it's like you have,
So you see the conundrum as I was looking into this, how the math just kind of crashed in my head?
I think it's the same, though, because when I was adding it up, so that's like 10 months.
Right, less than a year. 13
days.
Yeah, that's less than a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 months and 13 days.
13 days, yeah.
Or 9 months and 13 days. 10 months and 13 days. Well, anyways, do they have the same amount of months in a year?
Yes.
Okay.
12.
So... 12, yeah. So I had added up as we were going along to 9 months and 13 days. And then I saw in 13 it tells us.
Yes.
So like we don't have to do all that math in between, the plus this, plus that. We just know that he was 600 years old.
Right. Then he was 601.
Well, no. He was 600 years old.
2 months.
And then it started on the second month in the 17th
day. 17th day, yeah.
So he's a month and 17 days into his that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know the year's completed.
Right.
So it's a year minus a month and 17 days.
Right. And if a year's 360 days minus 47 would make 313, which is different than every single commentary out there.
Well, hold on. The earth wasn't dry until the second month.
Yes.
On the seventh.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't get out of the ark, because we're talking about getting out of the ark.
That's another 30 plus 27. That's 57.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So that's 370.
370. A lot of them said 370. Some said 371, depending if you counted the day that he went into the ark.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. Phew. Man, praise God for you, math folks. You know, I ain't a math folk. I mean, really, guys, I sit here and bang my head against this chalkboard. I've erased this thing like three times.
And he came over and told me, and I said, I'll look at it, and I never did.
Yeah, but she did make this delectable little dessert.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's just like a flat pie.
It's a galette.
Yeah, it's a galette. Yes?
I just thought of this. I had not thought of this before, but what ends up happening with the raven? And did it just find a place? Or?
A raven is a very stingy bird.
It never came back.
And it didn't even come back for his girlfriend or boyfriend, whoever's left on the, because they're unclean animals.
Didn't need to.
Right? I'm a bachelor. Or whatever. And so.
But both of them were still around.
Yes.
Today.
True. Yeah. Some of them. Yeah. Well, actually.
Well, there were seven of each
fowl. Of the fowls. But there's clean and unclean. Well, no, because it said grab seven of every fowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, every bird.
Well, some, clean in on. I don't know about the duck. Some can. I don't know about the crow either. Some can land in the water.
Yeah.
You see seagulls fly, but they can also land in the water. Some can't do that.
Yeah. Right. Amen. Right. A loon. A loon can dive under the water, and fly. Yeah. And I know a lot of humans that jump off of things, land in water. They're loons too. You know. Yeah, my brother.
Hey, the thing that the flood, right? Thing. Pulled the whole surface of the earth apart.
Correct.
But it's safe to assume that seeds and some other things were floating.
Oh, yes.
The whole tree trunks floating.
Yes, yeah.
There might have been leaves on the tree trunks. You
know, amen.
For a month or more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it very well could have been. I mean, you look at Mount St. Helens. That was the closest thing that I could think of, like a real flood. That contradicts everything that the geologists say about what happens, the millions and billions and trillions of years. Most of us, I think everybody here would remember when Mount St. Helens exploded, right? And, that Crystal Lake or Glacier Lake, what was Crystal Lake?
Glacier
That was up there. Big lake.
Yes.
Forest knocked down, and they all got pushed into this lake, and that lake was pushed out over into a different place and knocked down a bunch of things. At the bottom of that lake right now, there are like a half a mile of coal that's supposed to take millions and billions of years to form. From all the bark, from all the trees that fell off into the water and sank to the bottom, it's already coal. They found petrified deers, whole deer skeletons, in the side of a mud bank, already turned into stone. Fossilized deers.
Wow.
Millions and billions and trillions of years, like since 1980 till now.
I gotta say this, at the bottom of that lake lies a big, big man.
Yeah. Big bad John. Amen. I love that. Yeah. And so, but let you know that science is full of themselves because it does not even line up with what we know has happened in our lifetime. Right? And so Grand Canyon did not take millions and billions and trillions of years to make because of one small trickle of Colorado River. That river could not move that much dirt. But if there was a large land lake, huge, that was all over the state of Colorado and Utah, and where we have evidences of a very large lake at one time, and the dam broke and it all flushed through all at one time to go to the Pacific Ocean, guess what that would make? A Grand Canyon.
Science falsely so-called.
Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we, the destructiveness of moving water. Right? What it can carve through. It can carve through solid rocks in minutes. And
A gazillion years old.
Yeah.
Just without any sediment.
Yes. Yeah.
Just water.
Just water on its own.
Yep.
You know? And, I have seen, high pressure water cut through steel. Just cuts right through it. You put your hands in front of it and cut your fingers smooth off. Yeah.
So would the continents would have been formed after this time?
Well, I believe the continents, it says later in Genesis that in the life of Peleg, that the continents were divided.
Yeah.
So you got to go back and find out, because there's two Pelegs. There's a Peleg before the flood, and then there's a Peleg after the flood. And in the one after the flood, it says that the continents were divided.
The land
was divided. Yeah, it doesn't say continents. And so, but in Genesis, it's a, because it throws everything that you knew, everything that you've been taught through school, through higher education, either you believe the Bible or not.
Not just higher education, in Sunday school.
Yes.
We tell the kids that they went on Tuesday, we don't say anything else, and then they ask all those legitimate questions,
yes.
Right?
Right.
Because we don't, well, I don't. But, I mean, we read it from
the book, yeah.
But I'm just saying, there's tons of people
right.
that went to Sunday school and they have this picture of...
Well, they met Jesus on the felt board every Sunday.
That's in Genesis 10:25.
Mm-hmm.
And unto Eber were born two sons, the name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth divided. And his brother's name was Joe.
So it's the plates of the ridge, the earthquake. We still have it. We have found with the earthquake.
Yes. Yep.
Along ridges, along those plates. So those plates moved.
Yeah.
It must have moved.
Well, and again, remember what it says when Jesus comes back, that the mountains are going to fall.
Yeah.
They're going to be leveled out. Every island is going to be moved out of its place. We're going to see that tectonic movement happen again. You know, and well, we saw it just a couple years ago. Japan moved like 37 feet in a minute. You know, just
whoop. Was that the tsunami?
That
was
about 8 or 9 years ago.
8 or 9 years. Yes. Yeah, we're at the old place. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you take all the current continents, you chop them up, they fit together and like a nice little puzzle in one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they've even taken mineral deposits from one to the next. And
yep, they say that places in Florida match the western coast of Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The rocks shouldn't be there that are there on both.
Yes. The current mountain ranges,
mm-hmm.
those were all flat.
Yeah.
All the big pieces moving around, that's where the mountain ranges came
from.
So the flood didn't have to be as deep as it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it says that it was 15 cubits over the highest mountain, but we don't know how high the mountains were. Right? Because we do know that on the top of Mount Everest, there's fossilized clams that are closed. You know when a clam dies, what does it do first? It opens. So that clam died alive and was closed and was petrified. And it's on the top of Mount Everest. And they found thousands of these clams. Not one, but thousands of clams on top of the highest mountain on the planet.
Yeah.
Closed.
Fish in the desert.
Fish in the, yeah.
Whales or something like
this. Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
15 cubits above that.
15 cubits above that, right. And so, yeah, there's some, there was a whole lot of shaking going on. Who's that guy who's saying that? Whole lot of shaking going on. Yeah.
Cisterns broke.
Yes.
Water raised.
There's a whole lot of stuff that was happening during that time. It was marvelous.
Yep.
And so, verse 20, God spoke unto Noah in 15. God spoke unto Noah saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives. Bring forth thee every living creature that is with thee of all the flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. So this is the second time that God said, be fruitful and multiply. I think that there is a special supernatural conception rate that happens at this time. You know, deers right now, they only breed once a month. Most animals, deer.
Once a year.
Oh, yeah, I said month, didn't I? You're right. Once a year. I was hoping for the deers. I really was.
There's so many.
They only have one.
Yeah, yep. They have two or three. But at this time, I think there's a special thing that God said. He said, bless them. They're going to be fruitful. They're going to multiply. They're going to replenish the earth and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him, and every beast and every creeping thing, every fowl whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and he took every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Amen?
Amen.
So all of this stuff that the scientists are telling you, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. We're all going to die. It's going to freeze. You're going to overheat. You're all going to die. You're dying. Stop it. God says, as long as the earth stands, as long as the earth remains, we're going to have seasons. There is no climate change. There's just climate. Right? There's seasons change. Right? And he says that there'll be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Shall not cease. Shall not cease. Okay? Go ahead.
So it's coming all over. So the chapter 1 through 8.
Yeah.
Most especially the account of creation, our Noah and Noah. Like, those are the critical foundation.
Yes.
And not necessarily, if you don't read your Bible, not necessarily taught correctly, even in the church.
Yeah.
And it wipes out all the science stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
amen.
It just wipes
it out. It just cleans the slate.
Yep.
It cleans the slate. Go ahead, Seth.
Now, I just saw this. I've read through Genesis many times, but okay, am I looking at this wrong? Because I've always been taught the rainbow means, you know, God will never flood the earth again.
Yeah.
But here it says he promises not to curse the ground anymore.
Amen. Yeah. Doesn't say flood the earth.
Light bulb.
Right.
Well, he says
the covenant and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh.
Right.
Who
says
that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So it's both. So God said, I'll never flood. Yeah. It destroyed the ground. In other words, he's not going to bust up the soil anymore for this. So there's a lot of things that we've been taught, right, that we have leaned on. We got a picture in the kids' room, right? This big old fat boat and the giraffe sticking his head out of it. Right? It's so cute. And it's so biblically wrong. It's just so wrong. The ark, the construction of the ark in that picture is nothing like the ark of the Bible. It has a little house on top of it. It's so cute. Chimney? There's no chimney. There's just chimney. There's no fire. You wouldn't build a fireplace on a wooden boat. Just, you know? Just, I don't know. And we got to really be... I love what we're doing here, going back through Genesis, right, and going through these things again. Because, like Deb said, it's showing us some things that we've always believed and held in our heart as sweet things, and they are sweet things. But if they're not biblically correct, and we try to teach those to our children like they were taught to us, then we cheat them out of the truth of God and His Word, because it's a cute story.
So it's like Genesis is so foundational.
Yeah.
That if you're off on one thing, you extrapolate,
my brother,
and you draw out the line, and you go out miles from that point, you're like you're so far off course now.
Yes. That's why this math thing was really bugging me today.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, I know I shouldn't be fighting a battle that's not mine, because I am not a math guy. I got out of school in the sixth grade, right? That's as far as I went. And they didn't teach a whole lot of deep math in the sixth grade. You know, I did learn how to work a calculator, you know, so I could figure square yardage and some stuff like that for my job. But, you know, as far as this kind of math, nah, didn't do it. But my beautiful wife, with a beautiful mind, what a beautiful mind she has. And she figured it out in like 2 minutes. You know, praise God for her. And so, and there's other math folks that come to this church. If they'd been here, they could have fixed it. But anyhow, thank you, Deb, for helping me with that. And see, I wasted 2 pieces of chalk here. That's a lot of chalkboard.
No, I think that was really a good layout.
Yeah, it was a good layout. But it was, well, it's just layout. There wasn't any.
Is there any better place if you're going to spend time doing something than in God's Word?
That's the truth. It wasn't a waste of time.
Lost, if you're going to take time and hours to do something, if you're doing it in God's Word.
Amen.
It's
all good. Amen. So we will pick up in the beginning of another set of wickedness in chapter 9. Next week, because there's some really messed up things that go on real quick here, you know, in Noah's life. Plants a vineyard, gets drunk, and then that whole thing happens. And there's a lot of, I'll call them made up stories that go along with that that you can't really prove, not in scripture. Like the curse of Canaan, they were the African Americans, or they were the Africans, right? And
Ham,
yeah. But yeah. See, he didn't curse Ham. He cursed Cain, Ham's son. Oh, he was Ham's son. Better looking than all the rest.
Canaan.
Yeah, right.
Canaan was in one geographical area.
Yeah.
It wasn't
all of Africa, right? And so, but, yeah, there's so many things that we were taught that we held on as fact, that this curse of Canaan, Ham was cursed in Canaan, and God made dark-complected people because of that curse. That is a sin and a shame, and it's an abomination before God, because that's not what he did.
Are you talking about Cain and Abel?
No. Ham had a son.
I said about Cain.
Yes. That Cain
would recognize
him. Right, and put a mark on him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, and so, yeah, I've heard that. But this is later on where Ham
defiled
his father. You know, and then Shemp and Japheth. Not Shemp.
You wise guy.
They walked in backwards and covered him up. And so. Yeah, it is that time, isn't it? And so, praise God. I love you guys. Yeah, oh no, I haven't pushed the button yet. Someone's got to pray. Close this in prayer. Yeah. Want to, my brother? Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your grace, Heavenly Father. Oh yeah, there's just so much in your word, and Lord, as we're in the book of Genesis, there's just so much foundational truth, Lord, in a world where we're just lost right now. Just the world is a ship without a sort of wheel to turn it, and it's just because we've turned away from foundational truth, Lord. And in your word in Genesis, it proclaims the seed of the woman and the Messiah that would be born and the salvation that would be through him. All the way back in your word in Genesis, Lord, the proclamation of that promise. So thankful, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his salvation. I pray, Lord, you'd bless and continue to bless, Lord, the study of Genesis. And Lord, reveal the deep things to us, Lord. Word us up, strengthen us, and prepare us for these days, Lord. Bless us, Lord, with an abundance of faith, and may we walk in your love, Lord. And Lord, may we be holy in our lives. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah,